service here just, a little over a week ago. And what a blessing that was, just seeing people coming to the Lord, experiencing Christ, wanting to be baptized. I know out of the camp, the church in Bonneville had a baptismal service out there. I think yesterday from Kahewan, a number of folks from Kahewan came out, and they got baptized out there in Moose Lake as well. And just sharing about how Jesus Christ has made such a difference in their life. And so we rejoice in that. God is doing good things. And, you know, you're tasting and you're seeing of that. And so I want to just continue on with that fact and just talk a little bit more about tasting and seeing. So 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we have tasted of your goodness. We have tasted of your kindnesses. We have tasted of the good things that God, that you desire to do in these days. And Lord, we rejoice in that and we treasure those things, God. And Father, we would pray that we will continue to taste and see and be able to proclaim that you are good. And so, Lord, we just rejoice in that. We just pray a blessing over your word and your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I just want to encourage you to continue to taste and see that God is good and that God offers us so much more. And if you get anything out of this service here today, I really pray that you would understand that God has more for you, that wherever you are in your spiritual walk, there is more for you. God has more for you. I like the Old Testament, Psalm 34:8. In fact, I was on the internet there, and I was kind of checking like for pictures that maybe could be good about tasting and seeing. And I found it rather interesting that when you press in there on Google, taste and see, it comes up to this scripture of Psalm 34:8, and that's the number one, and it's for the first few. It keeps going back to this Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All the joys of those who take refuge and him. There's a reason why that comes up as the number one thing in your search, because people are finding that it is true. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And the psalmist, he found that that God offers so much more. And it all starts with opening up our hearts to God, coming to that place where we say, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. It starts by saying, I welcome you into my life, Lord Jesus. It starts with a desire that say, you know, I want to live for God. I want to have God in my life. It starts with a taste, but goes on to an experience of multiple good things. And God wants you to know today that as you have tasted of him, there is still more that you will see. There is still more that you will experience, and you will find that God is good. Now, it was good to serve the Lord, not just at first, but every day of our lives. You know, now some of us, you know, we've come to the Lord, and maybe it was a lifelong pursuit. There's just always been a desire in your heart that you knew there was a God, you knew there was something else, and you know, you finally come to that realization that, yes, it is true, the Lord is real, and you've come to Christ. For some people, it's been a search in their life, that they've been searching for peace. They've been searching for joy. They've been searching for peace in their lives that they've just not found it in life. And when they came to Christ and opened up their heart to God, they found that. Some of us came to Christ because we were going through a problem or a difficulty. You know, it's not a good thing that we have to go through problems. It's not a good thing that we have to go through difficulty. But, you know, sometimes through those experiences, it draws people to Christ and to God. And so some of us may have been come to Christ because of that. Some of us may have been brought to Christ because we were simply brought up that way. We had a mom and a dad, or we had grandparents that served the Lord, and it just kept getting passed down. That heritage just kept getting passed down. And if you're a person here that you're the first in your family line to serve Jesus Christ, then guess what, friend? You have the blessing to start sharing that with your family and start seeing your children and your children's children and your children's children serving the Lord and starting off a whole new heritage. See, we have tasted and we have seen that God is good. But I want you to know today that God has more for you. God has more for you. See, the psalmist David, he recognized that. The apostle Peter, they recognized that. And they're encouraging us to, you know, continue to taste and see that he's good, because it's an ongoing experience of good things as we serve the Lord. I've been a Christian for many, many years, probably made my profession of faith maybe when I was around 10 or 11. I can't really remember, because I kind of grew up mostly in the church. And he's been a part of my life all these years. And I have found through all these years there's still more. He still surprises me. And I love the Lord, and I want to pursue him even more, because I find there's all kinds of discoveries out there. There's all kinds of blessings out there, because we serve a big, big God. Amen? That's our God. And he tells us here, 1 Peter 2, verse 3, he says, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness, now that you've tasted, now that you've seen that, now that you realize, hey, God is good. Well, there's some keys there to kind of keep you in that relationship and that experience to stay in that realm of the goodness of God, the blessing of God, because God wants to bless these people. He is a good, good father. And good fathers like to bless their children. And so this morning, I just want to take this short little passage, these three little verses, and I just want to look at four key words there that I see that are instructions to us to help us to stay in the realm where we receive the goodness of God, the blessings of God, and the grace of God. That first word that I see that really sticks out to me as I read this text is a very small little word. It's the word rid. Just a small three-letter word. Now that you've tasted and seen that God is good, Peter is telling us it's time to get rid of some things in our lives that are not pleasing to God. You know, we all have our excuses. We're very good at that, right? When, you know, we're doing something that's wrong, we like to excuse that wrong because we like what we're doing. Even though we know it's wrong, we sometimes like to continue in it because we enjoy doing it. But if you know something is wrong and God's been speaking to you about an area in your life that has been wrong or needs to be corrected, then the time to do that is now. Now is the time. Now that you realize, hey, God is good. God is bringing some great things in my life. Well, then it's time to get rid of some things. Time to lay aside some things. To rid means to do away with, to dispose of, to get freed from, to remove of something that's undesirable. And he goes on to say, be done with it. You know, I really believe there are some things here that are going on in our lives as Christians that God has been speaking to us about, and we've kind of been just, you know, well, oh, there's grace, and Lord, I thank you for your grace, and we just keep continuing in that. You know, I really believe the Lord saying, you know what, it's time. Today is the time. Now is the time to deal in that area. So he says, 1 Peter 2:1, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all your deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. You know, there's always behavior issues that we all need to deal with. And they're all in different areas because we are all different people. There's always different things that affect us all. And I really believe that the Lord is pointing out to something to you that even as we talk about this, that God just quickly just put one thing right in your brain there that just said, hey, here's one of those things that I'm talking about today. See, we're supposed to be following what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases God. And when you find out what pleases him, then we're to do it. We're to do it. We're to do those things. You know, when we come to Christ, changes should be seen in our lives. And there's a big problem out there today in our Christianity, that a lot of Christianity today is that there is no change. Well, if there is no change, then I would doubt your experience in Christ. You need to be changes as we come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Peter is saying, well, now that you've tasted, it's time to start looking at some areas in your life, some behavior issues that maybe you've been excusing, and to start to deal with them. Now, again, we all have different behavior issues. All of us do. You know, one might be in this area, another might be in that area. Well, we're all different people. We're made up differently. And so we all need to deal with whatever God may be dealing with us. Now, some of the things he does mention, this is not meant to be an exhaustive list. He's just trying to give us, well, here are some examples. So it's not, you know, if you don't qualify in these few, I say, oh, man, I'm off the hook. No, he's just talking about, here's some examples. And so he talks about, you know, we need to be done with things such as deceit, which is dishonesty, which is lying. Be done with hypocrisy, pretending to be something you're not. Be done with jealousy, having resentment over the blessings in other people's life or envying some of those things in people's lives. He says, needs to end, you need to be done with all unkind speech, slander, cursing, and those kinds of things. So there's all kinds of areas as Christians that we need to deal with, that we need to get rid of concerning our behavior. And, you know, a lot of times we kind of look at that and we kind of think, well, you know what, it's optional. It doesn't really matter. And, you know, I know God is gracious. Well, don't keep resting on that grace all the time. There are times that God is calling you to action. Listen to Colossians 3, 8 to 9. The Apostle Paul, he deals with this as well. And he says, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off the old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. You know, we had a baptismal service here just a little while ago. And part of baptism, it symbolizes the dying of self. And that as we go down in those waters, the old person, the old self, it stays in the water. And you rise up to that new person in Jesus Christ. Well, what the apostles are trying to tell is that, yeah, there are some things that need to stay dead. Don't let them rise up again. Let them be buried. Be done with it. Whatever the Lord may be showing you. Again, this is not to be an exhaustive list or that this is the only area. If the Lord is speaking to you about a certain area of behavior in your life, it's time to get rid of it. And as you get rid of it, as you're done with it, then you're going to be entering into a greater season of enjoying and finding that God is good. So if you tasted and seen that the Lord is good, well, there's some work to do. And it starts by looking at our behaviors, and it's time that we deal with them. It's time that we be done with some of those things. You know, and I really felt in my spirit that, you know, there'd be people here today that God is going to pinpoint and just put his finger on just maybe just one thing. And he wants to say to you, okay, that's done. That's over. It's to stop now. You leave this place today, it stays behind. Second area we need to work on, since we have tasted that the Lord is good, that the Lord's kindness is special to us, is that we are to crave. We're to crave new things. So there should be a change in our lives, that we're not to be necessarily craving the things of this world, but craving the things of God. And I think sometimes we need to be really examining ourselves and say, have I lost that in my life, man? I was so hungry for God. Like, there was this craving inside of me. I just couldn't get enough of God. Have we lost that? If we've lost that, then we realize there's a problem. Something is going on. So we need to have a craving for the things of God. To crave means to ask for earnestly, to long for, to desire strongly, to need greatly. So to stay in this realm of tasting and seeing the goodness of God, crave for him. Let there be a craving inside of it. Let that be built up again. Apostle Peter puts it this way, 1 Peter 2:2, he says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk. Since we have come to Christ, there needs to be a craving inside of us for more of God, more than when we were babies and crying for our mothers, crying for that bottle. There needs to be that craving and that desire for pure spiritual milk, just like newborn babies. Don't settle for less. There's a lot of people in Christianity today, they're settling for lots of substitutes. Only God truly satisfies. The sooner you learn that, the better off you're going to be. You can check a lot of things, and yes, there will be temporary satisfaction, but you will not have the lasting satisfaction until you totally crave for Him. A little bit of God, I'm sorry, friend, doesn't do it. We need to be hungry, like a newborn infant. That, you know, when that baby, and we've got a lot of new babies in the church and more to come, and when, you know, they get hungry, you know, that little soother, it doesn't work anymore. Or that holding the baby and patting the baby's bum, it don't work no more, because that baby wants to be fed. And nothing you do will stop that crying until you start feeding that child. And God's saying, that's the craving you should have for me. That's the desire that we should have for Him, that nothing else will suffice. So we need to be craving more of God, desiring a purity in our lives. Man, and in Christianity today, there's a lot of things that are unclean. They're not pure. And we need to be seeking for the purity that comes from the very throne room of God. And I realize, you know, it is a battle at times, you know, because we are human beings. Flesh is there. Flesh is always there. And, you know, flesh desires things sometimes that are not healthy for us physically or even spiritually. 1 John 2:16, the Apostle John said, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but of this world. So sometimes we read that passage of Scripture and we say, man, we can't have nothing of this world. We can't enjoy it. That's not what they're saying. It's just saying, don't follow what the world's following. That's all they pursue. It tells us the kind of the correction there. It comes in Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. King James Version says, and He'll add unto you all these things. And so if you're really, you know, the things of this world, you know, God will give those things to you. But you need to seek Him first. Crave Him first. Don't allow the things of this world to start become number one, because we see that happening a lot of times in Christianity, that all of a sudden we get chasing things of this world so strongly that all of a sudden that desire for God kind of gets put on the shelf. Don't put them on the shelf. Keep seeking Him. God will give you the desires of your heart. God will bless you with the things that you even see in this world. But make Him your priority. Make Him your first desire. You have all that you need in Him. Jesus Christ is all I need. All I need. And that is so very, very true. Crave the pure. Don't get satisfied with just a little bit. Don't get crave, you know, with a little bit of a mixture. Crave the pure. The pure spiritual milk from God. But then thirdly, another key word I see here is grow. As we have tasted and seen that God is good, as we have experienced the kindnesses of God, we're to grow. We're to develop. We're to increase in size. We're to grow up from children to adults in God's kingdom. We're to grow to a full experience of salvation. 1 Peter 2:2, it says, so that you will grow and have a full experience of salvation. There's more. There's more. A full experience of salvation. There's more than just believing. Don't stop at just the believing. Get into the full experience of salvation. You know, in the natural, a baby is expected to grow and develop into a child, then into a teenager, into an adult, and then as an older adult. We're not to stay at that baby stage. We're not to stay at that child stage or teenager stage. Rather, we're mature into adults. Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter verse 3:18, he says, rather you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep growing in Christ. Keep the focus on Christ. You know, in the natural, you know, if we see a baby and that baby is not growing, it kind of sends off alarm bells, right? And we go see the doctor and we say, what's going on? My baby is not growing. Or then maybe as a child, and all of a sudden the child is not growing, and we realize, hey, there's a problem here. Or as a teenager, and they're not growing, there's a problem here. Why don't we see that in the spiritual? Some of us are still babies. There are some Christians that are still babies. They've never grown past that stage. And we need to get to that place where we realize, hey, there's a problem. I need to go to the doctor. And our doctor is Jesus. We need to go and have that encounter with Jesus again, a fresh encounter with Him. So friends, we need to look into this area. We need to grow. God wants us to grow. God wants us to get to that place where we can eat some solid food. So that's another key, that we might grow and that we might experience more of the goodness of God. And then the last key word that I saw out of that passage is the word cry. We need to cry out for more, like a baby crying out to be fed. We need to be crying just the same for more of God. 1 Peter 2:2, cry out for this nourishment. Don't treat your Christianity as something that's casual and that you don't need to work on it, or that, you know, it's not really all that important. You don't want to do that. Cry out for more. God wants us to cry out. I know maybe as a parent there and a young child, you don't want your child screeching and hollering and doing all those things. But God does. God wants us to cry out. God wants us to be yelling out to Him, saying, God, man, I want more, Lord. I want more. And see, cry means to make a loud vocal sound. To cry means to give a loud vocal utterance. To cry is to shed tears and sob, to plead, to beg, to shout. And often, you know, we're so guilty that we've deceived ourselves, and they said, well, I'm just content. I'm a content baby, and so I won't cry out. I won't say nothing. God wants us to cry out, just like the little baby there. He's crying out, saying, I want some more. Dad, I want some more. I want some more attention, Dad. He wants it, and God wants that from us, from you and I, that we would cry out to God, say, God, I want more. It's not enough. I'm not satisfied. I want more of you. I want to see more of you in my life. That's what we need to do. Cry out. Don't stop crying. Don't stop crying out until the Lord comes on the scene. Because people that cry out to God are going to be heard. They're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 40, beautiful, beautiful psalm. Encourage you to go read the rest of it. Just want to read three verses of that. Beautiful psalm says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and out of the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Good things happen when we cry out to God. They really do. God wants us to cry out to Him. Get desperate for God. Get desperate for Him. You've tasted, you've seen, you know that the Lord is good. Cry out to Him. Keep crying out to Him. And if He's not responding, just as a baby does, you keep crying until that parent comes into that room. Keep crying until the Lord comes on the scene. So friends, don't settle for a little bit of God. You've tasted. Oh, let me tell you, there's a whole lot more. I've served God pretty much most of my life. And I realize, even today, oh, there's so much more. He's a big God. And He has so many good things for us. Don't settle for just believing in Jesus. Don't settle, you know, for just making a profession of faith. Oh, step in there. Get closer to God. It does require some work. And yes, it will require, the Lord will show us things in our lives that we do need to get rid of. The Lord will show us that, there needs to be that craving. I don't want to lose that craving for the things of God. I see that happen to so many Christians. They lose it. They lost the craving. And if you're there today that you've lost that craving for God, just as in the natural, we really hate, there's a problem. In the spiritual, let's also recognize there's a problem. Let's get back to where we should be craving for those things of God. Let's get back to that place where we grow and we cry out to God, because God has more for all of us. God has more for all of us. Don't settle for less. I want to encourage you today, God has more for you. He really does. He has more. Psalm 34:8, we'll end with that scripture again. Taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. There is a joy that will come that will fill your heart and fill your mind and fill your experience you. And that it will be with you your whole life, even in hard and difficult times, when you make Him your trust. I want to encourage you today, as you have tasted and as you have seen that the Lord is good, continue to taste and see, because God is good. God has good plans for me. God has good things in store for me. God has good things in store for you. God has good things in store for this church. You may be going through a difficult, you may be going through some problems, you may even be going through a dry spell. Keep crying out, because the Lord will come on the scene. He will come. He will, but you need to keep crying out to Him. Don't just cry a little bit. Oh, keep crying out. Keep crying out, because He'll hear you. He will respond to you. Just as you will do that in the natural, you're going to respond to your baby. God's going to respond to you because He loves you and He cares about you, and He's listening for that cry from your heart. Taste and see. God is good. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back to the instruments here this morning, and just going to rejoice with them. And let us rejoice this morning, because we have tasted. We have seen. God is good. But I want to tell you something else. There's more. God has more for you. God has more for this church. There's a whole lot more that God has in store for us. Let's stay in that realm where we have tasted and where we continue to see, oh, God is good. It doesn't mean we won't have a problem or a difficulty. Yeah, we still might have some problems and difficulties along the way. But even through them, we will be able to testify and say, oh, but my God has been good. My God has brought me through. My God has given me the strength to go through this time. My God is with me. I want you to know today that God is good. So taste Him and see. He's a good God. He's a good God. Maybe you're here today and you've never done that. Maybe you've never opened up your heart to the Lord and you'd like to do that this morning. Well, as we close this service, we always give opportunity for people to come and receive prayer if they want to. And you're more than welcome to do that. Just to come and we can pray with you, or one of our team members can pray. I'm going to have a short board meeting there in a few minutes, but we can take some time and pray for some folks first. And if you haven't opened up your heart to Him, oh, let me tell you, just get a little taste. You got a little taste today as you were worshiping and you were sensing the presence of God and you were sensing something in this room that maybe you never felt before. Well, that was Him. And He's giving you a little taste, but He's saying, come, I got some more to give you. I got some more good things that I want to give in your life. Oh, come and see all that I would have for you. You haven't got it all. There's still more. There's still more. If you've been a Christian and you're 90 years old, I want to tell you, there's still more for you. Because He's a big God. He's an eternal God. Yes, He's lots in store for you and I.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow together.